This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're going to head out to the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Warren Sharp. NFL analytics, betting insights, fantasy football analysis. Get it all at sharpfootballanalysis.com. What's up, Warren? Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate the time.
Hey, of course. Good morning, gents.
So we were a little surprised yesterday when we saw the news that broke during our show that George Pickens was on the move from Pittsburgh to Dallas. And I scratched my head a little bit. I didn't obviously do the deep dive in the numbers that you do, but he's kind of a mercurial guy. He's immature. Like, if Mike Tomlin can't control him, how will Brian Schottenheimer do that in Dallas? But I'm on Sharp Football, and you have some pretty intriguing stats about how he could fit in well with Dak, that Dak in the last 2 years has the number one most passing yards on 15-plus yard go routes and number two most attempts on 15-plus yard go routes. Pickens the last 2 years matches up exactly. He has the most receiving yards on 15-plus yard go routes, and the most catches on 15-yard go routes. So, like, I'm sure that Dallas has done their homework on Pickens, and it seems like a good fit with Dak.
It does. Look, the biggest question here is not will George Pickens, when he's on the field, have opportunities to perform and raise the ceiling of the Dallas Cowboys offense, because that's a pretty known commodity. That's a slam dunk, in my opinion. I think he does pair up well with Dak. Dak has not had those deeper outside threats for a while. They basically were trying to turn like Michael Gallup into that role. And George Pickens is obviously, I mean, we've all watched football, much better suited for that role than was a guy like Michael Gallup. We're going to see CeeDee Lamb then slide a little bit more into the slot, where he's going up against a weaker cornerback, generally speaking, and he can do more things from a route perspective when he's running routes from the slot. He can break more directions. He has more opportunities to get on the same page with Dak Prescott there. So I think it actually opens up this Cowboys offense a lot more. We know that in Pittsburgh, Arthur Smith was not throwing the football nearly as much as what Dallas is going to do last year. Dallas was throwing it way more last year with all these backup quarterbacks that they were rolling out than were the Pittsburgh Steelers with their quarterbacks. Not that the Steelers quarterbacks were great, but Arthur Smith just coaches a more run-based offense. So you read the stats. He is going to pair up well on the deeper passes. He is one of the best contested catch guys that we have in the NFL. And if Dallas, you know, they decided in the draft to build a little bit more through that offensive line to go back to their older school roots of having, of trying to develop one of the better offensive lines, I don't necessarily love their running back core, and I think Javonte Williams is going to be terrible for them. But if they're going to be able to utilize some play action and set up some of these deeper shots to George Pickens and then free up CeeDee Lamb, it's going to have a lot of success. The biggest question, or the thing that we have to wonder, is, you know, Pittsburgh has historically been so good at knowing when to walk away from guys, whether it's Antonio Brown, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster. They moved on from these guys at the perfect time, at the perfect moment. None of them ever produced again. It seems unlikely that George Pickens is going to fit into that same mold, but he certainly is going to be much more difficult for Brian Schottenheimer to manage than pretty much any other player on that Cowboys roster, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Dallas's running game. We kind of talked about it yesterday. They drafted two running backs. They drafted Jaden Blue out of Texas, Phil Moffitt out of Clemson. added some free agents, like you said. They have four new running backs on the roster, but I just think Pickens adds a lot. I looked at their win total. I made a bet with the guy across the table from me, my co-host here. I said if Dak plays 15 games, they make the playoffs. Their win total right now on FanDuel is 7.5. Don't you love if Dak plays a healthy free or an injury free season? Don't you love over 7.5 wins? I do.
Yeah, it's hard not to like that if you're looking at their schedule and some of the things that broke poorly against them last year. They were minus six. First of all, we know Dak was injured, right? So if you're assuming Dak's going to be healthy, you can't go into a season assuming your starting number one quarterback is going to be injured. So everybody has to assume that that guy is going to be out there for them. They were minus six in turnover differential last year. That was 23rd in the NFL. They lost 39 expected points just from turnovers. That was 27th in the NFL. They lost 14 fumbles last year, which was the most of any team. They were minus five in fumble loss differential, which was 26th. Opponents made 94% of field goals against the Cowboys last year. That was the third highest. And they went minus 0.31 EPA per play in field goal range on third downs. And so what ends up happening, this is why you were seeing their field goal kicker bang so many deep field goals. And of course, he's amazing. But the issue is, because they were the second worst team on those third downs, they had to attempt a lot more of those field goals. If they regress more to the mean where Dallas's offense should be with Dak, they're going to be converting on those third downs, which is going to give them more opportunities to score touchdowns and not settle for field goals. All of those things combined last year that I just mentioned, in addition to the fourth toughest overall schedule, and they still won seven games.
Right.
So
I mean, they won seven games.
Cooper
Rush played half the year.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you're saying the win total is a half a point higher.
Yes.
Their strength of schedule is easier this upcoming season. Division-wise, it's easier. It's one of the easiest division, based on the position that Dallas finished last year in third place, that they've had for a little while. So I can't argue with you at all there. I think that this team definitely has a higher ceiling, even though their expectation within the division right now is that they'll finish in third place. It's still not one of the other teams you would consider third place in many other divisions.
Talking to Warren Sharp, NFL analytics guy, betting insights, fantasy football. You can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. I saw you writing about Brock Purdy. So if you're the 49ers, what would you do?
It's difficult because these quarterback, like Brock Purdy, if I'm the 49ers, knowing what Brock Purdy actually did for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I do have to pay him. And the reason I say that, and I'm not running out and like clapping my hands after we signed the deal and, smoking a cigar, but it's one of those things, in my opinion, that Brock Purdy does have some faults. And obviously from a prototypical quarterback, there's a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant. He does not offer or deliver you that prototype quarterback size, weight, hand size, all the things that you would be looking for when you're scouting a guy. That being said, he understands what Kyle Shanahan is looking for offensively, and he understands how to execute it. And the shock that he delivered, the surprise that we got out of Purdy when he came in and was inserted and actually was winning all of these games, that's what they'll need from him moving on. The 49ers right now have the number one easiest schedule in the NFL this upcoming season. This division right now is getting better. It is improving. The Rams are going to be the Rams as long as Matthew Stafford is there. He, like what Kyle Shanahan's looking for, Matthew Stafford understands what Sean McVay wants out of that offense. I think the Arizona Cardinals, they're certainly trying to improve their defense. I think they're always going to be limited by Kyler Murray. And then the Seattle Seahawks are in a period of transition here. Obviously, they're getting rid of Geno Smith. They're moving in a different direction with Sam Darnold. And I'm not sure what exactly we're going to get out of Sam Darnold there. I certainly don't expect what he delivered in Minnesota in the Dome with all that comfort that he had there and all those close wins. But I think this division isn't an easy division. The NFC West is a challenging division. I certainly wouldn't love paying him, but I feel like he has done enough to date to get that payment. But it's not a position, fellas, that I'm going to share with you with any high level of conviction, in my opinion.
Warren, you put up a list at Sharp Football a couple days ago about the most clutch quarterbacks in the last 5 minutes of games. Now, it was a minimum of 85 dropbacks. So this guy did not qualify. But why don't you tell the listeners where Jaden Daniels would be on that list if he had the proper number of dropbacks?
Yeah, I don't think people realize, and this I want to get this next stat out as well about the fourth downs, but Jaden Daniels only had 48 attempts when trailing in the final 5 minutes of games. But if we utilize 40-plus attempts for quarterbacks, he would rank as the number one clutch quarterback out of 70 qualifying quarterbacks over the last 5 years. And he didn't just rank number one in expected points added, which is the metric I'm going for here. He would rank number one in yards per attempt at 8.9. His completion rate on those 48 attempts was 75%. That was also number one. And he delivered a 57% success rate. He absolutely has that clutch gene. And there's something about him, and there's something about this virtual reality that he studies. But this is a quarterback that certainly everybody in D.C. should feel great about from an aspiration perspective and what he can deliver for this franchise. The one red flag I will throw out there for the Commanders that we got to get across here is their fourth down conversion rate last season. It's not everybody sees Dan Quinn as being this aggressive quarterback, and yes, he is. But he actually went for it fewer times last year than he did in 2023 or that the team did in 2022 or 2021. The Commanders converted 87% of their fourth downs last year, 20 of 23. That didn't just rank as way better than any Commanders offense in years past. That was the best in the NFL since at least 2000, which is where I ran my numbers back to. Some other crazy stats about this. They ran the ball on 15 top plays. They converted it 13 times. No other team came close to that conversion rate on the ground, and they did not quarterback sneak it one time. Quarterback sneaks are like the cheat code, whether it's a tush push or whether it's a standard quarterback sneak. Last year, 90% of quarterback sneaks were converted into first down. The next closest run play was down at 70%. That was inside zone run. They were the Washington Commanders were doing what they did without a single quarterback sneak. Jaden Daniels, when he passed the ball on fourth down, he converted 7 of 8 pass attempts. That was 88% conversion rate, the best in the NFL for a quarterback since 2007. The only two quarterbacks that were better than him since 2000 were Peyton Manning in 2002 and Kurt Warner in 2007, both of which are in the Hall of Fame. And one last number here to throw this in perspective. The Commanders gained 55 expected points added on those 23 fourth down plays. That is not only the best in modern NFL history, if you compare it to all other offenses on 100% of their plays last year, like every single play that the Kansas City Chiefs had on offense last year, the Commanders' 23 fourth down attempts gained more expected points than the Kansas City Chiefs' entire offense did last season. So this was a ridiculous run.
Are you saying that – I have two questions, but you're triggering one. Are you saying then that obviously it's unprecedented, basically, and unsustainable, or they should be going for it more on fourth down?
I would not argue with you that they should be and could be going for more on fourth down. That being said, I think these numbers and where they rank historically are unsustainable.
Right.
Unless the cheat code is Jaden Daniels himself. Like, unless this virtual reality, and they're figuring it out, and he is the cheat code, because otherwise it's a type of play. It's the quarterback sneak. It's something like the tush push that's repeatable. You can say, okay, we know this is going to hit at this rate. We should keep going for it. But they're running inside zone, and they're running read option, and Jaden Daniels is dropping back to pass it, and they're converting at rates that should not be continuously converted at, which is why I unfortunately think that is ultimately going to regress. Now, that's not saying that the Commander's offense in general is going to regress, because they could improve in some other parts of the field. They could improve more on those third downs inside a field goal range,
right,
so they don't have to go for it on as many fourth downs.
So all that being said, it kind of leads up to my next question. My buddy, who's a big NFL guy, who isn't a big NFL guy at this point, he keeps warning me and even my kids. He's like taunting my kids, and he keeps saying, you know that, are you ready for Jaden's inevitable regression,
sophomore slump,
you know, in year two? Like, it's like obviously it's going to happen. He's not going to, you know, NFL team. He's not just saying it because of the so-called sophomore slump, but that, you know, teams, they study you, they analyze you, and they're going to take away what you do well. And, you know, he's like, it's almost like guaranteed he's going to have a regression. kind of taunting us. What is sort of your take on that?
Well, I don't like him taunting your kids. That's inappropriate, I think. Yeah. But in general, I think the Washington Commanders probably are going to struggle a little bit more offensively than they did last year. Most quarterbacks, though, I will say this as it relates to sophomore slump. Most quarterbacks in year two make a sophomore jump, not a slump. If they're decent quarterbacks, they actually improve in year two. Yes, you're right. Defenses get more film on them, but it's an opportunity to settle down a little bit more offensively and get more comfortable. Mm-hmm. The great thing is they kept Cliff Kingsbury. And if I were the Commanders, I would be planning ahead to a team that, you know, exceeds their win total of 9.5 games or so, 9 to 10 games, gets into the playoffs again this year. I would already be readying an offer for Cliff Kingsbury to try to figure out a way to keep him for year three if things go the way that we think that they will with the Commanders. I do expect, obviously, that some of these fourth down numbers are going to regress a little bit. But there is room for improvement. The issue is that they face the number two toughest year-over-year increase in schedule difficulty. They're going from playing the NFC South last year, as well as the Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans, who we know the Titans had the first overall pick, mm-hmm. to the AFC West, which is, you know, the Chiefs and the improving Chargers and the improving Broncos and even the improving Raiders, you could say, with a new coaching staff and new quarterback in Geno Smith this year. And then the NFC North, which was the best division in football last year from a total wins accumulated perspective. So it's not going to be easy for the Commanders this upcoming season, but the way that Jaden Daniels seems to have his head screwed on, he's viewing all of this in the best positive light as a challenge, as something to prove to people, as not something that he's going to fear. And I'm just excited to see what this kid can do in year two. And I think more teams around the league need to study this VR technology that he's utilizing, because he's clearly a step ahead of where everybody thought he was going to be. The biggest thing for him is, how do we keep him healthy for as long as we need to keep him healthy here? You talked about Dak needing to stay healthy. You never plan for a quarterback like Jaden Daniels to get injured, but I will be perfectly honest, from a betting perspective, last year when we were looking at season-long props, we wanted to bet Jaden Daniels rushing yards for the season over the total, and it smashed that number. But the only issue was we feared his style of running would put him up on the injured list, and we weren't willing to take that risk. He ended up getting injured, but recovering and not really missing much time. So what we decided to do instead is just bet his rushing yards over on a game-by-game basis and win those units that way, as opposed to betting it on the whole season. But that is a fear for him, is just the way that he runs, the frequency of his running and the style of his running.
Warren, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate it. Always great intel and skinny. We'll have you on again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, bro.
You can go to sharpfootballanalysis.com for more information, and at sharpfootball on Twitter. We'll do EB's entertainment page next. And also a quick programming note. When you hear Ben play Metallica before the show is over, you be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, and you're going to score a pair of tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium. So when you hear a Metallica tune on this show before the show is over, you can call and win those tickets. We'll be right back. Remember, you're listening for Ben to spin a Metallica tune before the show is over. When you hear it, be the 10th caller, and you will see Metallica when they come to Northwest Stadium in just a few weeks. The date of the concert's Wednesday, May 28th. So keep listening for your chance to win, because it's coming up pretty soon. Not as soon as the EP, because that's coming up now.
Jason asked, though, on Open Line Thursday to hear from somebody who was at the concert last night. I don't think we've heard from anybody.
I have a lot of friends texting me pictures of their kids at the concerts, mm-hmm. videos yeah. of their kids at the concerts, etc.
The videos I was getting from my daughter were unbelievable. And then if you just go to YouTube and mm-hmm. just YouTube or search Metallica at Lane,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the Enter Sandman video is unbelievable.
It's great. Did they have a sick light show with it?
Because yeah, they had eight yeah. huge video towers surrounding mm-hmm. the stage. The stage, of course, was in the middle of the football field.
Yeah.
And they had eight. They looked like they were 50 feet high.
It's an impressive display.
I wonder how long it took them to put that in. But it was incredible.
The atmosphere was
incredible.
How many 18-wheelers it takes to load all that gear? It has to be like a dozen, if not more.
And my
more.
Buddy who works at the university told me they just flew in, and they probably do this for a lot of concerts.
Right.
But the band members flew in,
right.
flew out.
Just like for the show. Yeah. They didn't even do the sound check. The sound check was the other guys.
I don't think they did the sound check.
They've reached a level in their career where
they can just show up.
Fly in on private jet.
Right.
Fly back to, you know, like, I don't know
where their next stop is, but maybe that's
where
they went.
It might be Northwest Stadium, but I'll have to look at the tour date. Yeah.
That's the dream. That's when you, I mean,
that's
literally
when you made it. Yeah, you're top of the heap.
But it looked like, I mean, Lane Stadium's a big-ass stadium.
Yeah, it's a big room.
I mean, for... I remember going to the Notre Dame game two or three years ago. It was a Thursday night game, and the place was just jammed. It wasn't an empty seat in the house. But last night, it looked unbelievable. It looked like there was 100,000 people there.
Crazy atmosphere.
You keep using the term unbelievable, but I completely believe it. To me, it's expected, predicted.
Well, it's just that.
To see it at his stadium where he goes all the time.
Very impressive, amazing.
Because my daughter had no idea how big of a band they were because she doesn't follow Metallica. She's not a heavy metal listener. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she was there just to see that song because she's heard it so many times for the last 4 years, but to see it performed by them, she said
this takes it to the next level.
She said it was incredible.
So their next stop is in Columbus for like a weekend long festival. Then they're hitting Philly on May 23rd. And then the 25th, and then they're in Northwest Stadium May 28th.
Let me ask you a question. Your daughters, they drink like normal college kids, right?
My older daughter drinks. She's more of a partier than my younger daughter.
Your younger, not as much.
Not as much, right.
Well, my daughter is a partier.
Okay.
She's a very accomplished girl, but when it's time to get after it, she gets after it. And yesterday they had so-called Slope Day. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
So
I
at Cornell, it may be unique to Cornell because it's on a hill.
Okay.
And Slope Day is like they celebrate your last day of classes, and I'm pretty sure they have bands that perform. So like like a famous rapper, you know, it's like a big deal,
big outdoor party,
and it's just a drinking fest from like 9 a.m. till 1 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, I texted with her a little bit, but I already saw pictures like they were drinking at like 9 a.m. yesterday. Mm. You know, an all-day thing.
That's a young person's bit. Drinking 9 a.m. drinking.
It's funny. My daughter, I was texting my daughter at about 7. I said, are Metallica on yet? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, I don't know.
Right.
I said, well, what's the lead singer look like?
Yeah.
He's tall. She goes, he's bald.
Okay.
So I said, no. So I sent her a picture of Pantera.
Yeah.
She goes, oh yeah, it's Pantera.
Yeah, Phil, the lead singer of Pantera.
She had no idea.
Definitely bald.
She didn't know if that was.
Don't they have like the logo of the band out somewhere?
I mean, she didn't see it at the time, obviously, because they weren't on stage yet. Yeah. She said, I don't know who it is.
It's pretty funny.
Right.
So, yeah, she's very unfamiliar with.
How old is she, 22, 21?
She's 21.
Okay, 21. Most 21-year-olds don't know who Pantera are.
Correct.
It's not really in their demo, in their wheelhouse.
Look, there's some 55-year-olds that don't know.
Trust me, I know.
I'm not sure I would recognize Pantera.
You probably wouldn't.
What's their most famous song? I'm sure.
They don't have any famous songs.
Oh, they don't?
I mean, like, that get radio airplay?
Yeah,
no.
Then a guy like me that just would only know by radio airplay.
I mean, you don't know Cowboys from Hell. You don't know Walk. You don't know 5 Minutes Alone.
Don't know any of those songs.
You just don't know any.
Is it BDK's walk-up Pantera, or it used to be Pantera?
His walk-up is Pantera.
That's the only Pantera song I know.
Oh, it is? That's his walk-up?
I think I know that song.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
It's a nice.
Ben can play some Pantera for you if you really want to hear it.
It's fine. I don't mind. All right, let's go to Bill real quick before we get into the EP here. Bill's been on hold for a while. It's Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, Bill and Frederick. Frederick. Hey, what's up, Bill?
Are you pissed off about what he said about Frederick?
No, boys. I'm more pissed off.
Am I right though, or am I wrong?
No, you couldn't be more wrong. Frederick's beautiful.
I'm not saying it's
He's
not beautiful.
He's talking about the people.
I'm talking about the people.
All the people.
Nah, the people. All the people are money.
All right.
Really?
All the people. So I was calling to kind of complain about Zach and Ted Leonsis.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Those are our guys, you know. We're like in business with them. You're putting us in an awkward spot. Yeah. We're in business
with
them.
I'm hoping I can lean on the power of the junk. Okay? So... during intermission, 21,000 people, Capital One Arena, trying to go to the bathroom. Lines are long. I get it. They're trying to expand. I get it. But why are the TVs on the urinals just stuck on Crop Metcalf commercials? Put it on the game. The game is going on.
Got to pay the bills,
buddy.
Put the
game on the TV.
Got to pay the bills. Mm. Hey, do I ever show up on those commercials?
Yeah, sometimes I see his hurting teeth.
Nice.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, you're talking to him.
I hurt the D. That's
right. Oh, I know. But that's it. I mean, I get it. When it's intermission, you got to pay the bills. You got Joe Hadid. You got Crop. We love the Hadid. We love Crop.
Right.
When the game is on,
yeah.
Why is it not on the game? The lines are so long.
I think but was that just during the playoffs? Is maybe because ESPN has the rights?
I mean, but it's going on right next door. I mean, you know what I mean?
They could have an in-house feed. Maybe they just don't
have an
in-house.
They got the broadcast on the TVs outside the lot, like the by the food up on the ceiling. You can see it on the
JP's bringing up a great point, though. He's asking you a question. During the regular season, is it always like that?
It's always like that.
Okay.
Always like that.
Okay.
Crop Hadid.
Well, then
maybe they're paying for bathroom rights.
Yeah. Marketing works because they're in your brain.
Those guys are paying our bills.
I get it. But it's playoff hockey, fellas. There's nothing better. Hey, and you know,
how about you just hold it a little longer? Okay.
Yeah. Maybe don't drink so
much. Go a couple hours without.
Yeah. Drink less. You fish.
Hey, come on, boys. Come on. That's like asking a fish not to swim.
Wear a diaper.
Some guys do that.
Hey. One last thing, Bish, praying for you. Speedy recovery. You're in our thoughts and prayers, my man. Wishing you well.
Oh, that's very nice. Oh, that's very
procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, have a great day, fellas.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Let's go, Caps.
Jason's having a skin cancer thing. They're going to dig it out.
Yeah.
So
that's next Tuesday.
I tell you, I know so many people that have had it. And so I know other people can be horrible, but I know so many people have had it, and it's just it's a nuisance, but you do it.
I just don't know how long I've had it because I had this bump on my forehead for a long time, so I went and get it checked and biopsied. I mean, it could have been there. I could have had it for 5, 6, 7 years, and I have no idea.
You probably would have noticed it. I'm going to guess you would have
noticed it. I don't know. I just don't like going to the doctor.
Yeah,
I just don't like going to the doctor, so I put it off and put it off. But finally I said, you know what? I need to go check this.
Yeah.
So, and I know that this particular skin cancer doesn't spread very fast at all. Mm-hmm. It's the slowest skin cancer that's that you can get.
It's still nerve-wracking.
But I have no idea.
It still bothers you.
Yes, of course.
Of course. All right. You want me to tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment? Hollywood, does he have the music or no? Cakes? I need some entertainment music.
Ben probably has it. I don't know that I have it over here.
We're grabbing it.
All right. Because we didn't have it yesterday. It was a little
If I do have it, it's very difficult to find.
I lose a little
buried in the machine.
Lead in my pencil when I don't have the music behind me. You know what I'm saying? EP, of course, driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. For the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get your butt over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the top dog over there. She'll set you up with a sales assistant. Of course, if you just want to check out online all their silly offers, all their new and pre-owned vehicles, go to BMWFairfax.com. Make sure you mention me when you get over there. All right, we talked about the terrible story with Brad Arnold from Three Doors Down. Thoughts and prayers with him. Justin Bieber's in the news again. I know you guys always complain I do too much Bieber stuff, but look, the guy, people are fascinated with him, and there's a growing trend amongst, influencers. Golf is very hot right now. I know that you guys don't think so, some of you. Golf is very hot.
It's hot, baby.
It's huge on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's huge with influencers, and another trend in golf is people are wearing whatever the hell they want.
Right.
Like, if you follow some of these young influencers, they're wearing, jerseys. They're wearing sweatshirts with their logoed stuff. Or they're just wearing shorts and boots. Like, this people's wear whatever they chicks are wearing, almost nothing. So, and some people are put off by it.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber was out playing at a golf course in California. Where the initiation fee is $500,000. Okay.
What's the course?
So it's a hoity-toity club. It's called Madison Golf Club in California. So the initiation fee is $500,000. He's out there in these outrageous parachute pants and for lack of a tank top. We used to call it a certain nickname, but it's a tank top.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
It's not PC.
People don't like it when you say that name. Yeah. You don't mean anything by it. But and people are outraged. Where do you
stay? But it's a private club.
It is a private club, so they obviously let him on the course.
Yeah.
And he's paid a lot of money to play.
I know he couldn't do that at Augusta.
Club.
I mean, he does.
Now, at our club, you wouldn't be allowed to do that.
He looks pretty trifling, I'll be honest. I mean,
I think he looks a little silly, But I follow actually a lot of golf influencers, and sometimes I get jealous because they're out on the golf course and they're just wearing like, they're not even wearing golf shorts. They're wearing like shorts you'd go for a run in, like a little bit more comfortable shorts. Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what Jason Day was doing? Didn't you guys say he was wearing sweatpants basically?
He did one time. He did one time. It was very controversial. He was wearing a grout fit.
And the LIV golfers are wearing shorts.
LIV golfers are wearing shorts.
So there's a trend towards more casual.
Trend towards more casual. Because let's be honest, you go this time of year, most people, by the way, I didn't wear shorts yesterday because for some reason, I love the club that Cakes and I and some of my friends joined. Norbeck's great. For some reason, it's always the world's windiest spot. It's a wind tunnel out on the range. And so I just kept my little jogger pants on. When I got off 18, I was practically bleeding from the chafing that was going on. I was getting no air, Cakes, in by your...
It's very descriptive.
By your boys.
Yeah, I understand.
Inner thigh on fire yesterday.
By the way, I think Cakes has a better golf swing than Biebs.
Thank you. I'll take that as a backhanded compliment.
But where do you stand on that, Jason? Where do you stand on...
I think... What?
Okay,
letting
Biebs
him in
looks ridiculous.
Yes.
But... like guys that wear like say shorts and a sweatshirt or you know what I mean, like just shorts and a hoodie, like they just wear what, like are you okay with that or are you more traditionalist? I like getting dressed up to play golf.
I think you should wear a golf shirt. You should wear a collar.
So you don't like the trend towards
no
wear whatever
I don't
you
like
want.
That no
okay
I'm guessing most of the older guys
you're an old fuddy duddy
our age,
I'm an old fuddy duddy
yeah you are
anti this new movement.
I mean the fact that he's got a tank top and sweatpants on they shouldn't allow them on the course.
I play at the Munis. There's lots of people that don't dress up with a collar.
They don't care at the Munis. Yeah, well, so you can wear whatever.
They're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah. All right, don't forget, you're listening for a Metallica song. There's not much show left. You want to listen for that. When you hear it, be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, and you'll score a pair of tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. We told you when you heard Metallica be the 10th caller, now's your time. 800-636-1067 is the number. 10th caller is going to win a pair of tickets to see Metallica play at Northwest Stadium. Wednesday, May 28th is the date. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. We all know they played at Lane Stadiums last night in Blacksburg. Quite a scene. They also tripped off the Geiger detector, is that what it's called?
Geiger?
Is that what it's called for like registering like earthquake type seismic activity?
Okay.
Thought so.
Yeah.
Thought it was the
registered
Geiger.
on the
Matt Geiger?
On the Matt Geiger scale.
Okay. Yeah.
It definitely had a spike when they were playing at Lane Stadium.
I'm not surprised.
So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
And we saw a lot of pictures and videos. Obviously, Jason's daughter attended. We know a lot of our listeners obviously were at Lane Stadium. Always fun to go see Metallica. They obviously have that connection there with Lane Stadium and Virginia Tech. They've been playing that song now, I think, for 25 years?
Yeah, almost 30
coming
years.
Coming up on that anniversary. So they'll be playing
and
here
I feel like I missed
in just
out.
A few weeks.
I, especially since my daughter's senior year, I should have been there. I should have been there with her to experience
it. No regrets, buddy. No regrets.
I'm regretting it.
Just go on the 28th.
You can do that.
It's not the different,
same,
bro.
It's not the same.
It's different. I mean,
it's going to be pretty
similar. I've been to Lane Stadium like 35 times.
It's not about necessarily seeing
it's
Metallica.
It's not exactly about that. It's just
it's about
the experience.
Doing an at-tech with her and her friends.
Yeah.
I get it.
Also, programming notes for tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll be joined by Mark Roberge, lead singer of OAR. He'll be hyping up the post-game concert. OAR will be playing after the Nats, I believe, St. Louis Cardinals game.
Cardinals. Play with the Cardinals.
At Nats Park. So he'll be on tomorrow at 9 a.m. And in studio... at 9:25, our friend comedian Rich Voss is going to join us.
Very cool. Hey, I just tweeted, you can always follow us at Junks Radio, a picture, it's actually two pictures, from the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns tweeted out, football things are happening, and there's a picture of Kenny Pickett dropping back to pass and a picture of Joe Flacco dropping back
to
pass.
All I can see is the glove and his tiny hands.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Can you detect the differences?
Let me interrupt for 1 second. Geiger counter measures radiation. It was the Richter scale, that I was trying.
All right, whatever.
I ricked myself.
I thought you
the
knew
Richter
it was
scale.
Okay, all right.
I botched it.
I took your lead.
Continue.
So, yeah, that's what people noticed is, well, number one, Kenny Pickett's using gloves.
He's always
Flacco's
a glove
not.
Guy, right?
And it appears that his hands, they look tiny compared to Flacco's.
Well, he measured it with small hands at the combine. We all knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just interesting to actually see the comparison side by side.
Joe Flacco has big, gigantic hands. Do we know his hand measurement?
I can
look it up.
I don't know. He's bounced around a lot of teams these last couple of years. Hey, the guy that was with the Ravens for a long
time. I give
run.
Him credit. He's still clocking NFL checks.
And he's and according to reports, he's the favorite to be the starter in week one.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco, hand size of 10 inches.
Who else would be... I mean, we've talked about this in the preseason and in training camp. I mean, they've got four quarterbacks they have to let play, kind of, because they drafted two. I just don't know how they're going to separate the reps. Like, what percentage of those reps are Dylan and Sanders going to get?
Mm-hmm. Sanders ain't going to get a ton.
He's not going to get a ton.
He's not big in their plans. I mean, that's reality. You know, when you're the fourth quarterback on the roster and fifth round pick, and
how about the fan?
Second one taken.
But the Browns fan, or he was actually a Colorado fan that's suing the NFL for $100 million because
that's the dumbest lawsuit ever.
Why? I know, it's so stupid. I mean, he's suing the NFL for $100 million because the all of the teams passed on Sanders for four rounds.
And what's the rationale?
Claiming like mental distress.
Oh,
mental anguish.
Yeah.
Most frivolous lawsuit in the history of frivolous lawsuits.
Right. Won't see one penny.
Has anybody tried at KFC their chicken and waffles?
I have not.
No, but I bet you it's good.
It's been a minute since I've been in a KFC. I can't remember the last time I was actually in one.
You're missing out, Cakes.
I'm sure I am.
Are you a chicken and waffles guy?
Not really.
It's not a bad combo.
If I see it on a brunch menu, I'm tempted. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's bigger in the South, right? I did it in Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah.
My son gets that at IHOP. That's kind of his go-to. Although they even have chicken and pancakes there.
Oh, really? That seems like an exotic menu item for Dylan to order chicken and waffles.
Why? He eats chicken tenders and he eats waffles. And pancakes.
Chicken and waffles.
I would think
are
maybe
awesome.
He wouldn't want to combine those two things. I don't know.
Yeah. The kids with eating quirks, like you and your cheese quirks, they're just weird. They just have weird quirks.
Okay, but I eat a wide range of foods. I just have a weird thing about the consistency of the cheese.
You have a cheese quirk. There's no denying it. You have a cheese quirk.
I'm owning up to it. But
yeah. I'm not saying you have a
But I do eat more than like five foods. I think
I'm not suggesting you don't.
Five foods.
Might be up to about seven or eight.
It's a microcosm of them.
Okay. It's
what it's look. I tried to defeat it when he was young.
I know,
and I just gave in.
But
Brett, who works on our show, he works in the food industry, and he still probably has never eaten fish in his life.
Yeah, he eats like potato skins.
You'll
and
never
French fries.
See fish on the Sup Dogs menu. You know what, I'll tell you that.
My son has convinced me that people like that, like your son and my youngest daughter to an extent. She's one of those. My youngest. She like sniffs food. If she sees like a little seed, she'll pick the little seeds out. Like it's like. It's beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm.
But he says there are certain people, because he's seen these reels, that literally they have such an aversion to certain foods, like if they'll like puke. You know, like just
gross.
Like he doesn't have that.
Something psychological, they're so screwed up about certain foods.
He'll try things now. But he generally like
maybe eventually
you can
grow
see
out of it.
Like the mashing his head like he doesn't want to try it. He like even stuff like pepperoni, like he'll have pepperoni.
Pepperoni's so good.
Oh. Who doesn't put pepperoni in their pizza?
I think
some
I,
people don't like it.
Like, you're gonna order cheese pizza.
Do you know how good,
dull that is?
I'm super serving the client here, and this is not me embellishing. Do you know how good the thick pepperoni is on a Lido pizza?
Of course,
it's excellent.
It's so thick, and it takes up so much of the piece of pizza. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Thank you.
Anyway, I saw a couple food stories. We don't have really time to get into it. I saw KFC's brought back chicken and waffles. That's kind of temporary.
Right.
But Wendy's, they have three new Frosty flavors coming at
we
you.
We talked about this yesterday.
We went through the whole menu.
You missed.
He wasn't here.
Part of the show, yeah.
We were saying.
That must replace Brent Johnson.
I think we did two Frosty segments yesterday.
Okay.
We were just talking about fast food at one point. It might have been during Brent Johnson, but I was saying my recommendation is Wendy's. You got to lean on the Frosty more, man.
You got to lean on it. Yep, exactly.
Sure enough, they have.
We got to run. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.